lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord.
Praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So lift up your hands and praise the Lord.
Why don't you
lift up your hands and praise the Lord?
Just praise the Lord.
Praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So lift up your hands and praise the Lord.
Why don't you
lift up your hands and praise the Lord?
Just praise the Lord.
Praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So lift up your hand and praise the Lord.
Oh, why don't you
lift up your hand and praise the Lord?
Just praise the Lord.
Oh, praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. Praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So lift up your hands and praise the Lord.
Amen. It's good to be in the house. You may be seated. Let's sing Meeting in the Air, ESC.
Yes. Go ahead, brother.
Amen.
You know, I was praying for God to help me run into somebody that I could bum around with or something. You got to watch what you pray for.
Amen.
2 weeks ago, my grandson said, Papa, can we move in with you? Because we're having financial problems and we can't make it. I said, come on. So I went ahead and gave them my, right now I have the master bedroom and bathroom, so I gave it to them because there's three of them, only one of me. And I took the smaller bedroom. Amen. So, I won't be lonely anymore.
Amen.
So it's a chance for me to display God.
Amen.
I'm grateful that, you know, God saved me.
Amen.
You know, I'm born again. You know, Satan fights me all the time on this. Constantly I battle him. You know, he tries to knock me out of the Word. He's been trying this for 30 years. And it never quits. And, you know, I know he's a liar, and I know what I am. I see my name in the book.
Yes.
And I see Jesus no matter where I look in the Bible. And, you know, God told me that I belong to him.
Yes, he did.
So, Satan, you're a liar.
That's right.
Liar.
And the truth is in God, not you.
Amen.
And so, you know, the Bible says, let God be the truth and every man a liar.
Amen.
And so, you know, I'm glad that God took me out of the false vine church.
Yes.
and put me in the true vine.
Yes.
Outside of this message, there is no truth.
Amen.
Outside of this message is all lies and fairy tales.
That's it.
You know, when I went to a Baptist church, it was a fairy tale.
Right.
It was crazy. I mean, I could not swallow that garbage.
Right.
So, you know, I went from church to church for a long time. And finally, I started praying, God, the truth has to be out here somewhere.
Yeah.
Please lead me to the truth. And that's when God and man came up to me at work and invited me here.
Amen.
And I've been here ever since. And I stand on this word.
Stand on it.
I'll fight anybody over it.
That's right.
I'm fully persuaded this is the truth.
Amen. Go ahead, sis.
Good morning, body. I am so humbled to be here. I have so much to say, but I don't know what I'm going to say. But I know that God is in it.
Yes.
You know, I don't take this place for granted. God has been with me throughout my journey, and I love him. And just like Brother Mike said, you know, you deal with peaks and valleys daily.
Yeah.
You know, but you have a choice. You can either go with the Lord or you can go with Satan.
Yeah.
And for me and my family, I want that eternal life. But also, Pastor Moore said, you know, we need to get up and we need to show our Lord how appreciative that
Amen.
We are.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a very mature young lady over
Amen.
Many of you young ladies, and I have been through
Amen.
Trials and tribulation,
yeah.
but God has brought me through.
Yes.
And I have a husband that is God-fearing. You hear me say that all the time. And as a Baptist, when I first came here, it was a challenge for me. But Pastor Moore, Brother Jeremiah, Brother Childers, and Brother Jay, I thank you all.
Amen.
I thank you
Amen.
All
Amen.
For your guidance, you know. Even
life.
For the yes. rebuke, I thank you because it has kept me out of trouble.
Amen.
And for
Amen.
My sisters and brothers and the body, I would like to just share something with you. It says that if a man's gift is to prophesy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve.
Yes.
If it is teaching, let him teach.
Amen.
If it's to encourage,
yes.
let him encourage.
Mm.
If it is to contribute to the needs of other people,
yes.
let him give generously. If it's leadership,
yes.
let him govern dignity.
Amen.
If it's showing mercy, let him do that cheerfully.
Yes.
I love you, my sisters and brothers, and I thank you so much for your support and
yes.
showing and manifesting God's word.
Amen. Let's sing Meeting in the Air, KSC. And while we sing this, greet your neighbor, you know, because what we're doing here, we're going to do it when we see the others on the other side. We're going to be greeting each other. I'm sure there'll be some music going on. So just love each other. That's what we're here for.
You have heard of little Moses and the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the fish you often sing. There's many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them all at that meeting in the air. There is going sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing we will hear, never heard by mortal. Doubters will be missing.
Oh, a meeting in the air,
in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear. Never heard by mortal ear, 'twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at the meeting in the air. There the doubters will be missing altogether. All the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us. And the agents will be busy far away. There the saints will have his seal upon their foreheads. Dressed in raiment none but ransomed ones could wear. Amen. All who have the wedding garments will be present at that meeting in the air. Well, there's going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by.
Little testimony real quick I just want to share with you guys. I think it was like last service or the service before last, Brother Skyler was up, and, you know, he talked about, you know, if you need your house done, you know, ask for help.
Yeah.
Well, I got my garage done, and you know, I don't want nobody else to feel bad if you didn't show up. It's just when one of us does something, the whole body does it. Just like when the preachers go across overseas, when they visit with other churches, water in, water out, we're all identified with that one.
Amen.
So if one helped, the whole body helped, because that's how we have to look at everything. We have to look at it because only one of us needs to see them. Then everything is just going to snowball effect. Right after, domino effect, one after the next, you know. So I'm just grateful to have a body. You know, it's like brother said, he was lonely, you know. And it's not good for a man to be alone, you know. God didn't want him to be alone. So I'm just grateful that I got a body that is always there for me. Like Brother Seth said, I've got Jesus on speed dial. I've got a whole contact list of Jesus. There's no reason why I should fail in any department of my life. You have not because you ask not. Go ahead, brother.
Morning, Brian. Glad to be here this morning. So I was just, you know, thinking about the message that Jay brought on Wednesday, fellowship with God. And, you know, that turned me on so much because we're in an hour now that you don't have to sit there and wonder and have questions about anything.
Right.
God is in the midst, and I just thank God for that because, you know, many church ages out there, they have to wonder where God is, and we don't have to worry about that at all. You know what I mean? And I really take that wholeheartedly. I take that serious because you don't have to leave here with answer or questions. You can have all the answers you need,
and I
thank God for that because it is a blessing, you know. And I was thinking too, you know, you come to God, and God's answer is not going to always be yes. It's going to be no, and I've learned that over the years. So just when you go to God, you'd be sensitive because you might not get the answers you may like, but you'll get an answer.
Yeah.
So I thank God for that. I love the ministry here. Yeah. You guys bring it every single day, and we're just I'm thankful for it. I mean, your brothers bring it, and I just want to do my part and testify if I have to. You know, Satan does battle me. So I'm like, am I getting up too much? But you know what? Pastor Moore knows. If he has to speed down,
right.
I'll sit down. I'm not worried about it. You know,
Amen.
So I thank God. I love this body, and that's all I wanted to say.
I'm going to jump in real quick, Brother John. I'm going to do it this time. I just want to praise God. You know, I was thinking about Jesus. You know, Jesus
Amen.
Knew what he was here for.
Amen.
You know, and he knew what he was going to go
yes,
through.
Indeed.
There was no doubt in his mind.
Amen.
You know, he had seen people be crucified before. And
yep.
he knew. And that weighed heavy on him.
Yes.
Because
Amen.
He was 100% God, but he was 100% man too.
Amen.
But you know what? He knew what his job was.
That's right.
And he did it. He did it willingly.
Amen.
And I was thinking about us. You know, we are the bride.
Yes,
but
Amen.
We're the bride 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Amen.
Not just on Sundays.
Amen.
Not just on Wednesdays.
Exactly right.
But we know what our
Amen.
Job is.
Amen.
And you know, God talks to us every day.
Every day.
You know, and I was thinking about what you were saying. Satan talks to us too.
Yeah.
But you know, we got to block that man.
Yeah,
we got to block him. We listen to what the Word of God says.
Amen. That's right.
And you know, this revelation is very simple.
Amen.
Yes.
It's
Amen.
Very simple. Our pastors told us it. The ministries told us it.
Yeah.
When this Word comes forth, when I say Amen,
yes,
that's all I'm required to do.
That's it.
I'm required to believe.
Right. Yeah.
And you can't tell me I'm not a believer.
Amen.
You know, Satan can come at you. He can tell you in the flesh you did this wrong. He can tell you that you're not doing this.
Right.
He can tell you a lot of things.
A lot of things.
But the one thing he can't tell me
right.
is that I'm not a believer.
Yeah.
I say amen to every word that comes across
amen.
That pulpit. And I remind Satan of that every time he comes at me. You know, and that pushes him down. And that pushes him down. And it pushes him down. You know, he never goes away. Like Brother Don says, he doesn't worry about Satan. But Satan's always there. But you don't have to worry about him. You don't have to worry about him. Because he has done a finished work. The Bible is too clear.
It's too clear.
The Word of God is too clear.
Amen.
You know, and we are blessed that we can understand these scriptures.
Yes.
We're blessed that we see the revelation. If we didn't have a prophet, we would be men most miserable.
Yeah.
We wouldn't know. It's not something we did.
Right.
You know, it's not even something our pastor did. It's
right.
not something Brother Childers did. God sent a prophet.
Right.
You know, and we can't forget that either.
Amen.
But I love that we have a balance because, you know, in the old days, Daniel, they didn't worship the prophet Daniel. But they respected him.
Amen.
They listened to his word.
Yes.
They went to him for guidance.
Yes.
But they knew who God was.
Right.
And we do too.
Yes.
We have a revelation. We have a balance.
Amen.
We have a wonderful ministry.
Amen.
Brother Don.
How did he know I was heard? But you know, I was thinking about what Brother Mike was saying. You know, Satan's all the time after you.
Always.
We just know he'll never get us. And that's the rest, that's the peace in it. I was also thinking about, you know, identification. You know, I'm identified with not just the bride of this day, you know, but the bride of every age who has struggled and suffered, don't even know what I knew, you know, but has overcame in their age.
Amen.
And I'm thinking, that's beautiful to me.
Yes.
You know, everybody has a measure of faith. They were saying earlier how that, you know, everybody's given a measure of faith. And you type it with the natural man. You know, a natural man might not get everything he wants out of his bride, but he'll take what he can get. You know, she might throw up an elbow one time. Next time, I'll take it. I'll take a kiss this time. But, you know, I don't think God's much different than that. Because we know God honors faith.
Right.
He's got a law. He honors faith. I don't care if you're drunk in the gutter, you know, believing for a healing.
Yeah.
He'll honor that faith.
Yeah.
If you can believe it, he's right there. He always honors faith in his word. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the measure of faith that I have.
Yes.
You know, may not be the greatest, but I know it's not the worst. So I'm thankful to be right here.
Amen.
You know, I have sit under the full word of God.
Yes.
All the way through. I haven't hopped church since I come here. I hopped in this church.
Goodness.
That was my last hop. I recognize my Danish message. I recognize that God was speaking to me. And it's gotten greater and greater and greater and greater.
Amen.
Beyond what I could ever put into words. This thing is mighty. And I'm so appreciative to be identified, not just with this bride. And I looked at this morning, we're not very many. Not very many, but I look at each one, there's real revelation. There's a real revelation. There's a real revelation. God speaks to them every day, every day, every day. I know this.
Oh, yeah.
I see this.
Yeah.
You know, I know what to look for.
Amen.
I can judge. They know the spirit of truth.
Amen.
So they automatically know the spirit of error.
Yes.
Satan might be after him every day, but he'll never catch him.
That's right.
I'm thankful for the word of God.
Amen.
And that's all possible because what Brother Jay preached, we're fellowshipping with God himself.
Right.
So it's just beautiful to see this. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. I got a song I want to do.
Jay,
but before that, I just want to say that, you know, Satan, he attacks every last one of us.
Sure.
But, you know, it's like water off a duck's back.
Amen.
You know, it's all it is. Because the more and more I fortify myself with this word,
amen,
the stronger I get, my faith muscles get more developed. And, you know, and that Satan, I just, you know, flick him off my shoulder.
Amen.
You know, because he'll come at me, and even my weakest times, you know, and I might listen to him for a minute, if that.
Right.
But I might listen to him, and I might even actually feel sorry for myself.
Amen.
But then, when I come to my senses, it's like, but you know what? I believe the word.
Right, yeah.
And that's the only thing that counts. You know, yeah, we're all going to have our flaws, but you know what? God ain't looking at that.
No.
You know, he's looking at that seed that's in you, you know, that he's looking to see himself. That's what he sees, you know? And so I just thank God that I can stand on my own two feet. I have my own revelation. At one time, I used to, you know, wonder. But no. I've been coming here long enough to know, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Amen.
There's no church hopping for me. But that wasn't my problem. It's just that I was just in and out. But, you know, that's no longer a problem for me.
Amen.
Because I'm settled. I'm like a tree that's been planted by the water. And all I can do is just absorb the water. The water that we get here, I just soak it up.
Yes.
And I just thank God that I've got an ear to hear this message. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. with a lot of it. I'm just so happy.
Amen.
When I sit here, I know that I have not just the eyes to be able to see this, but the ear to hear this.
Yes.
But most importantly, I also have the voice, the mouth, to speak the word for it. Don't limit yourself. Everything God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, which was all of the word, he poured into man. Everything that you will ever need, what did God leave you without? Nothing. You can speak anything from out of the mouth comes the abundance of the heart. And God says he's going to grant you the abundance of your heart.
That's right.
Oh, what's in your heart? What you going to speak? That's why the pastor was talking about being so important to testify.
Yes.
Because you're putting forth the word.
Amen.
God, before God did anything, he had to speak it forth.
That's
what about
right,
you?
Right.
You're not going to get anything without speaking it forth. They're not going to come forth without the spoken word.
That's right.
Nothing is. And God wants to hear you say, I believe this. He wants, what is he looking for? He's looking for, when I come to, will there be faith? Yeah, I already said it. So, as long as I'm here, if I go on, well, I'm counting on you guys to continue to speak the word.
Yes, sure.
What was it that he said the bride would do? Go forth and prophesy again.
Yes.
Well, if you cannot be the final voice, the final age, if you don't have a voice in this final age. If you're not saying anything, you're not the final voice.
Right, amen.
I have a right to doubt you because you're not manifesting any of it.
Right.
The pastor said, do it. Well, do it. Even if it's just a, I believe. That's all you need to. And I've said before, I'll say it again. If you need someone to stand up here with you because you're shy, you're embarrassed, just tap me on the shoulder. I'll come right on up here with you.
Yeah, right.
Just about everyone in here now can hide behind me and they'll never be seen. I will stand with you. If you need to.
That's right.
Amen.
And I'm standing with you. Speak the word and follow the word. The word says do something, just do it.
Amen.
It's not going to hurt you any.
Amen. At this time, I would like to call the voices up and sing Every Praise, Brother Jay. You know, because I was thinking about everybody that listens in on the internet, and my heart was just full with how they get to tune in to us. And, you know, this ain't a show. This is real. And I want to bless all the listeners listening in, tuning in, because I know how it feels to listen in and not be here. So this means everything to the ones listening in from afar. And I just want to bless them. Go ahead, Brother Jack.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise, every praise is to our God.
Let's sing that again. Hallelujah.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord, every praise, every praise to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory.
Glory, hallelujah is to our God. Every praise, every praise is to our God.
God, my Savior.
God, my Savior.
God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Oh, yes, He is. God, my Savior.
God, my healer. God, my deliverer.
Oh, Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Every praise. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship. With one accord. Every praise. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah. Every praise, every praise, every praise, every praise, every praise, every praise is to our God. God, my Savior, God, my Savior. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Every praise. Every praise is to our every word of worship. With one accord, every praise, 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 is to our God.
Amen. You can be seated. Amen. While you guys are being seated, I'm going to just give my testimony real fast. I'm happy to be here this morning. There's no other place I'd rather be. I just appreciate a place to come and serve God with believers. You know, I like how Brother John said, is that the only qualification is that I'm a believer, that I believe the word. And that's what I do every time the word comes across my path. So I'm grateful to be here this morning. There's no other place I'd rather be. And I just, you know, take a minute to just say thank you, Lord.
Yes.
You know, like, I was thinking about myself. Sometimes when you pray, you're always asking. Yeah. And I mean, it's natural in this life to always ask and need stuff. But yes. It's a crazy world. But I just was thinking, it's like, you know, it feels good to hear thank you every now and again, too. So yes. I'm just thankful for God to give me this understanding. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to have a peace when nobody else has a peace. I'm thankful for the family that I have. I'm thankful for the wife that I have. Sister Crystal, you said, I got a God-fearing husband. I got a God-fearing wife. You know, I thank God for that. There's people that don't have, that spouses that don't fear anything. And they constantly argue and talking back and blah, blah, blah. But I got somebody that we're serving God together.
Amen.
That means it makes it easier for me to serve God. I can't even complain about my walk. I got an easy walk.
Yeah.
I got a spouse that's encouraging me,
Amen.
Pushing you, helping you along.
Yeah.
Brother Isaiah, you know what? You got some help with your garage. It's great to have help.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a beautiful thing. Even God wanted help.
Yes.
Yeah. Adam wanted help.
Yeah.
I want help.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing to want.
No.
You know, so I praise God. I'm thankful for the help. I'm thankful that even in here we got help. You know, Brother Mike, you're saying you'll stand with somebody or give them a ride and all that means we have no excuse, you know, because Satan will love to talk to you and say, oh, nobody wants you there, nobody's going to help you here, nobody wants to hear you. And every time you come to service, it's a rebuke to whatever Satan is saying.
Amen.
Everybody wants to hear you, everybody wants to encourage you, everybody wants to help you out. Yo, I don't have a way, God gave you a way. Oh, I don't have a ride, God gave you a ride. Oh, I'm shy, I don't want to stand by myself, God said you won't stand by yourself. All those things, that just proves that Satan is just a liar, that everything he says is a lie. Because when you come in here, God vindicates his word by what? Bringing it to pass.
Right.
He has somebody here, has somebody there, and I just thank God for it. I know
Amen.
We're getting busy in a Sunday morning, but I appreciate this place, and I love everything that we get here.
Yes.
God bless you.
Michelle, you'll be the last one.
I just want to thank God so much. Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to thank God so much for being here, and as James stated, I just came up to say I'm grateful, and I'm thankful, and we only have one thing on our plate, and is to get out of here
Amen.
And just stay focused on that. because, and I just want to praise him in advance.
Amen. Amen.
So that song has been on my mind for a minute. We praise. I told Pastor Moore, I used to listen to my crazy music when I ride my bike, but that's like my song. I was like thinking, have we forgot about that song? And you guys actually sang both my songs today. I was like, what? Kevin was like, what? I said, you know, I was back there telling him like, oh, they're playing both my songs. So God was listening. But I also wanted to be up here and, you know, be thankful for things. I wanted to thank Isaiah's son, Vegas. He gave me his prayer cloth last week. I mean, he came up after church and he said, I want you to have this. And I just thought that was so sweet, you know. And you think he's not listening? He listening. He might be a baby, but he's listening. You know, you got to take what you can from this,
that's
you know.
Right.
And then I, you know, I think about Sister Courtney all the time, which she said, Jay says get 1% better, you know. I tell myself that every day, you know. And then really, Jay, your testimony. Because what you went through, if you could go through that, I could go through what I want, you know.
Amen.
Because you almost lost your life, you know. Like, I'm in a lot of pain, but I'm not going to, I know I'm not going to die from this. I could die from diabetes, but I'm not going to die from this, you know. And I always ask God every morning, you know, what can I do to be stronger? And, you know, I always tell Kevin, too, you know, I need to stay off of, like, social media and stuff because that really makes the devil talk to me, you know. You know, and I always think of Pastor Moore, you know, especially with all this politics and animal stuff. So I'm always like, you know, now I, instead of me getting angry, I'll be like, can't we just get along, you know? So people have been like, you need to get out of your rainbow clouds. And I'm thinking, you have no clue, dude, who I really am and how vicious I can be. And me and Sister Michelle had said that a long time ago, can you imagine if we didn't have God? I can imagine where I would be if I didn't have God, you know, what I've dealt with in my life. It, you know, it, that devil really plays on your mind. But, you know, I'm so thankful to have this rest here. I think to myself, you know, when they tell me I'm in that rainbow cloud, well, maybe I'll just go ahead and be in that rainbow cloud, you know, instead of me getting angry, because it does nothing but affect my own life, you know, and it does nothing but bring my blood pressure up, you know. You know, Kevin, being younger than me, I always mess with him like, babe, you know, you're going to get high blood pressure if you don't settle down, you know. But I just live off my life experiences, and I try to bring something to you guys. But, you know, I'm thankful for everything that I get in here. Just the fact that Jay made it through, Sister Dawn made it through. I know I'm going to make it, you know. I know I'm going to get there. Every day I take it one day at a time, and I just want to thank the church, my sisters and my brothers, for being so positive to me and really, you know, thinking about me. And I really appreciate that. I never had that from another church before. So I just want to always come up here and thank you.
Amen.
I just want to be obedient and identify with the body. I appreciate this message so much. It has been so much, you know, just I appreciate being born in this. I feel like this is my testimony all the time, but it's honestly, I wouldn't want it any other way. I don't want to know anything else. I'm thankful that I just know this and that I don't have that battle to fight of, you know, different things that I was taught. I'm just glad that this was what I was taught and that I only have this. And I'm just thankful for my parents.
Amen.
You know, it is good to have somebody in this church with you because it is encouraging. Like, I can be encouraging to my parents, but they can be encouraging for me and all the things that I'm going through with school and two other jobs and all the people I deal with all the time, they help me a lot. And I'm thankful. So anyway, again, I just believe this message and I'm thankful to be a part of this body.
Amen. By way of announcements, September 7th, 7:30, we have a service. We're going to have Brother Mendel and Brother Spivey Sr. and Sister Yap attending. And then September 8th, 10 a.m. service and picnic following after some fellowship. So be sure to be there. And then September 22nd is Pitcher Day. Try to, you know, put on your Sunday best, you know. And it's a little bit of a process. Brother John Brinkman will walk us all through it. Just listen and pay attention. And if you're by somebody that you don't want to be by, you know, just deal with it.
Amen.
You're going to be in that pitcher. Just as long as you're in that pitcher. So and then we got the October trip, October 17th. And October 1st is the last day to have your money in, so be sure to get that taken care of. And watch all the other announcements to come. Thursday, we have song practice for the kids. Okay. Youth song practice on Thursday, 7 o'clock. Yes. The 11th? Oh, Brother Norrod coming in on the 11th. That's a Wednesday. Ooh, I love water. And October 4th is a bonfire.
Wow.
Okay. Y'all creeping up on me with these announcements. All right, getting it from the left and the right. You know, I'm going to stay right here in the middle, right here. All that's okay, so 4th is the bonfire. And just stay tuned.
Amen.
In moments like these, and then we'll get them up. Key of D. God bless the testimonies. I love this body. God bless you all.
I sing out a song, I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands, I lift up Lord, oh, singing out.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for the moments like these when we have an opportunity to come into your house to worship you and to praise you for what you've done for us. It's an opportunity, Lord, that when I'm missing something in my life, I can pick it up here. If there's something that I have in my life that I don't need, I can lay it down here. This is the place, Lord, I get forgiveness. This is the place I get love. This is the place I get correction. This is the place I get answers. This is the place I get promises. All these things come when we come to this place. And Lord, as we're gathered here this morning, we ask you to once more time just walk these aisles. Speak to our hearts and give it an understanding. Out of all of our getting, Lord, let us get an understanding. And we pray, Lord, that you'll take these words and bring them to life in our lives, that when we leave here, there'll be something that's said that will help us along the way. For truly, that's why we're here. We're here to get your word, to make us stronger, to get us focused, to move us in the right direction, that, Father, we can lay everything else aside, all the sins that so easily besets us. We want to lay all those things aside and pick up your word and let it just mold us and make us into who we need to be. Father, we have needs here today. Lord, if I were to ask how many unspoken requests would be given this morning, every hand would go up in the place and across the land. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, you said you know what we need even before we ask. So we ask you to come in our hearts and our lives this morning. Just reach down into those unspoken requests. And, Lord, answer and move in those behalf. Sometimes there's things that are in our lives that we don't even want to even speak it out of our lips, but Lord, you know our hearts. And Lord, the things that are in our hearts, we want you to just move on those behalfs. And Lord, there's some spoken requests, different needs. Christie's father, the Kirkman family and their loss, Greg in the hospital. And Lord, each one of us here could speak a name that would be reflective of some need that we have in our lives that we can speak on. And ask you to move in those behalfs, Lord, and those that are tuning into this service that may be here live or maybe looking at it later on in the day or through the week, Lord, ask you to just bless them. Ask you to just take us and use us for your glory. Thank you for everything you've done. Be with us throughout the day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And it's good to always be able to come. And as you can hear by the announcements, we're busy. One thing that was not announced that I'll announce, and they probably was hoping I was forget it, that we're not having Bible study tonight. Y'all bypassed that and you said everything else. It's a holiday weekend and a lot of people are missing, even in the congregation or out of town or spending time and around. Holidays, I like to give you extra time to spend with your family because, you know, one thing Brother Childers told me years and years ago, he said, one thing I wish I could have done more or done differently is spend more time with my family. So I learned from that, and I understand because your heart's desire is to be here. But you do have obligations, worldly, earthly, family obligations that you really need to attend to. And so we make these little breaks for you to spend that extra time with your family. Not that we don't want to have service, because everybody, and if I said we were having service tonight, you'd all come. So it's not that we're not going to, it's not for the lack of will that we're not going to have service. My brother, one of my brothers told me a long time ago, he said, you've got the strangest church on the high holy days when everybody's churches are open, you close your doors. You know, Christmas we close and Easter we close, because usually we're out of town at Easter, the church goes away, so we don't have those services. And those are big dollar days. You want to make sure that you have your doors open, because people want to wear their Easter bonnets and they want to, you know, make sure that they're taken care of. But those are the days we close. I figured, you know, we spend a lot of time together as a body. And then on those holidays, when it's not so much that we're celebrating the holidays, but some of y'all aren't going to be working Monday because your business is closed. And that means your family's going to be available for you to spend a little time. So spend a little time with them and enjoy the day. And we'll get back on Wednesday, and we'll take up where we leave off with the services. God knows how many services we're going to have this year, and he knows which ones are not going to be open. So just keep that in mind as well. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of moving parts. Remember the Kirkman family, Sister Sissy. She likes to be called Sissy. She didn't want to be called by her first name. She liked Sissy. So they called her Sissy as long as I've known her. And she went to be with the Lord on Friday, maybe. So she's gone. But Dwayne and them are going to have the funeral. They're going to have the funeral on Tuesday. So I'm going to go with Dwayne down early Tuesday morning. We're going to go to the funeral and then come back. So just pray for the Kirkman family. And our loss is heaven's gain. She loved this message. I'm telling you, she loved this message. So I want to go and represent us there on Tuesday. So just be with us in prayer on Tuesday. And as we travel, it's going to be a quick trip. But we're going to be there to let her family know that Fairborn loved her. And we still love her. Right. You know, it doesn't mean that we stop loving because we lay a tabernacle down. We don't stop loving. We continue to love. And so we're going to go and represent on Tuesday. So keep that in mind. And I've got a big thing to do this morning. I told Sunday night we had Bible study, and y'all always get me in trouble, but we got a lot of new people, and I mentioned on Bible study on Sunday night that we wanted to go back over serpent seed again, and not so much that I learn something every time I go over it, so it's not like the old heads are going to sit here bored. I doubt that, seriously. But the thing about this message, that what makes us different, why we're not a denomination. You know, Brother Branham preached that message. We're not a denomination because the doctrines that we have don't fit in their little box. Let's just start there. For all you new people, these are things that you might want to keep in mind. You might want to take some notes. I like to do this as a teaching lesson, but I'm nobody's teacher. I have trouble standing still long enough to read a scripture. So, you know, those teachers are amazing to me because they can stand here and break things down to the minute detail. That's not me. I'm a preacher. But I like to slow it down a little bit because new people like notes and like to hear things and they need to understand. And we just happen to not have Bible study for the next 2 weeks. Because we've got meetings coming next weekend, so we're not going to have Bible study next weekend. So if you have questions, write them down and bring them in 2 weeks. So that's how we're going to do this. You said so, and I love our Bible studies. You all are very, 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 very open and honest in the Bible studies. And if there's something you don't understand, you're really quick to bring it to my attention. And I appreciate that. It's not I'm running from it at all. I love to be able to answer. The thing about it is we have answers now. Yes. If there's a Bible question, Brother Branham said there's a Bible answer. So there's not Bible questions that we're sitting here trying to figure out. The reason I want to go back over this is because some of you, since you're new, haven't been privileged to understand some of the reasons why we have rocks thrown at us. And, you know, we've had a prophet, number one. And we believe that the prophet came from God. Those are two stones that we get thrown at us right off the bat. And but the thing that having a prophet, the reason a prophet is important is when, number one, God, anytime he does something major, he always sends a prophet. Anytime man gets away from God, God always sends a prophet. Anytime we get off the word and getting off the rails, God sends a prophet. Any major move. Now, I would venture to say that the body change in the rapture is a major move. And so, out of all the time in history that God ever sent a prophet, this time is the most important time, because this is the time when man is as far away from God as he's ever been. The world is as far away from serving God as they have ever been. And so man is way off. They have things so mixed up. They have the Bible, but they don't know what to do with it. Because until the seals were open, and you've heard us preach on the seals being open, until the opening of the seals in 1963, nobody knew. Nobody knew the real understanding of the Word of God. Because the seals were wrapped around the Bible. They were wrapped around the Bible, and by the Bible being sealed, that meant no one could read this book and understand it to its fullest. All they understood about certain parts of it. You can read the Bible and understand certain things about it just by common reading. But it takes more than man's thinking and more than man's own educated guesses to figure out this Bible. You will never figure this Bible out. It takes a prophet, a major prophet on the scene to actually bring it all the pieces together. And that's what Brother Branham's job was. He was supposed to bring the entire Bible together. Now, we had no idea what was in this book. We guessed at it. That's why we had Trinity. That's why we have three gods. That's why we have false water baptism. That's why we have denominations scattered all around the world. That's why we got all these things, is because man can't figure this Bible out. And when he thinks he figured it out, and he thinks he's got the answer, he puts his little walls up and think, this is all of it. We've got it now. And man will never have it all. Even in this message, we don't have it all. As God moves, you have to move. If you had it all, you'd be sitting at the marriage supper.
That's right. Amen.
So even in the message, never get to the place where you stop learning.
Amen.
Never get to the place where you figure that you got it all. See, that's where when these prophets, false prophets, rise up even in this message, they think, I'm the messenger. I've got the message. I'm the prophet. I'm this. I'm that. No. We had a prophet. His name was William Branham.
Amen.
He was the last major prophet to the Gentile church.
Amen.
So you got to come, and we've all got to come subject to what he brought. And every revelation you get now should tie in to what the major prophet brought. And if it doesn't tie into what he brought, then you've got to lay it down. And only the bride can lay everything else down.
Amen.
Everybody else will hang on to their tradition, their ideal, their thinking. You got to let your thinking go. In order for you to find out what God's will is, you got to let your thinking go. You got to lay down your ideals, lay down your tradition, lay down everything. That's why we're not a denomination. Because we're not hanging on to the Baptist doctrines. We're not hanging on to the Methodist doctrines. We're not hanging on to the Pentecostal doctrines. We're not even hanging on to the Message Church doctrines.
Amen.
It's back to the Word. That's what Brother Branham said. He took us back to the Word. He asked the angel of the Lord, said, Brother, he said, Lord, what am I going to do with these people? All these people are coming out of every walk of life and every denomination. Where am I going to take them? He said, take them back to the Word. So today we've gone back to the Word. So now when we look at the Word, it looks different. It sounds different. It reads different. Because God's here now.
Yes.
And he's interpreting his own word by bringing it to pass.
He reveals this thing constantly to us. That's why we can't cap it down and say, God sent us a prophet. Because if all you got is a prophet, you don't have enough. If all you got is William Branham, you don't have enough. That's why you can't even look at William Branham and say he's the end all and the up to all and everything, because he's not. He said, I am a son of man, introducing you to the Son of Man. You need to get hold of Christ, and Christ is the Word, and the Word was restored by the prophet. But even though you got the restored Word, you still need the quickening power. You'll never get away from the place where you need the Holy Ghost. You'll never know so much Word in this Bible, so many quotes and so many books, that God didn't have to deal with you. God has to deal with you even after you hear what the prophet said. It's a personal revelation. It's God coming personally to you. It's Christ revealing himself to you. And nobody else can know that but you. Nobody will know that name that the Lord gives you except for he that received it. Nobody will ever be able to understand who you are except for you. Because they can talk from a distance, but nobody knows what he's done for me like I know. Nobody can tell you what he's done for me like I can. If he spoke to me and you don't believe it, that's okay too. Because you know what? I don't need you to have me know that God spoke to me. I only need to know that for myself. A revelation is a personal understanding of the Word of God. A personal understanding of the Word of God. So number one, we needed to have a prophet. Because without a prophet, you don't understand the Word. That Ethiopian that was riding there, he was riding along the land. Philip come up to him and said, hey, he just got out of church. If anybody should have known the Word, it should have been somebody who just got into church. Why isn't somebody just getting out of church and just as dumb as they were when they got there? Or dumber. He said, Lord, he's reading the scrolls, just reading over what they'd already taught him. And he's going through his church notes, trying to figure it out. He said, I didn't get anything when I was at the synagogue, but I'm going to take this home and read it again for myself. And Philip got called out of one meeting and translated to another. Across the country. And he got on the side of the road, and Philip started thumbing a ride. Just at the right place, at the right time. And then the Ethiopian said, you need a ride. Said, yeah, I'm. Which way are you going? That way, whichever way you're going. I'm going the same way. Got in that chariot, and he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He just didn't know it. So he opened up that scroll, started reading through, and feels like, hey, you understand what you're reading? Or are you just reading?
Yeah.
He said, and he had more sense than the majority of men have. How can I understand this except somebody coming and interpret it to me? He knew right then he needed a preacher. You can't get this without a preacher. That's why you got to have them. The fivefold ministry is put in the body for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until when? Until now.
Amen.
Until we all come to the knowledge of the truth. Until the opening of the seals. Until them that's over there and them that's over here get on the same page. That's what the fivefold ministry was here to do.
Amen.
So we had to have a major prophet at the end time, and because he had multiple things to do. He had to restore the word. He had to bring us into the knowledge to what the Bible is even saying, because we were reading the Bible and had zero understanding of it. You know how you were. Oh, you might have been. Tommy's been here about a year or so. A little bit less than a year. Been here a little less than a year, but he's picked up a lot. He's picked up a lot. And he's learning a lot. We're all learning a lot. Our sisters, we're learning a lot. But you have to have a prophet to get this. You're not just here getting it because you're smart. You're picking this up because God is whispering in your ear and revealing it personally to you. So once you understand who you are, which is the new birth, when you get the new birth, you're ready for the journey.
I don't care if you have been on here less than a year. If the body change came today, you have enough to go with everybody who knows everything. That's why it's so beautiful that it's not about your knowledge. So even when we go through the Bible now, the real understanding isn't that I understand the Bible. The real understanding is this: I understand me. I know who I am.
That's right.
I know where I come from. I know where I'm going. I come from God. I'm going to God. No man can go to God except for he that come from God. That's the real revelation. The rest is just information. If you don't know the seven seals, if you don't know the seven church ages, if you don't know all that the messengers brought, if you don't have a Schofield Bible, if you don't have all these other things that the message churches tell you you got to have, you're good for the journey.
Amen.
It's nice to pack a lot of stuff in a suitcase, but as long as you got your ticket and your passport, you can walk out with it with nothing else. Because you know what? You go on to Europe, you can buy clothes in Europe.
Amen.
That's the way the revelation is. Once you know who you are, and I'm not talking about guessing. I'm not talking about thinking about it. I'm not talking about trying to convince yourself. I'm talking about something happened to you that nothing else could have done but God.
Right.
Something talked to you that couldn't have been anything else but God.
Amen.
Told you who you were, revealed who you are, revealed where you come from and where you're going. And then you got it made then.
Amen.
So all the rest are just fodder, just information, just stuff to do. It's just stuff to talk about while we're here. It's good to know about the Bible while you're here. But if I don't get it all here, I'll get it there. If I have to wait and let Paul explain it to me, I'll be okay. See, what people do, they get it all mixed up. They get the cart before the horse. They want to learn the word. They want to learn the message. They want to learn what God's doing. You can't learn what God's doing. God's word is past finding out. When you think you know something, he gives you something else. That's why we don't get bored here. Because every revelation we get, we think, okay, that's it. I'm full. You know how it is? We're full until somebody brings the cake to the table. And sit there after dinner. Oh, I've had it. I can't eat another bite. And lay that cake down on the table. Well, I may have just a little bit more room. That's the way we feel every service. We come here every service, and we get through it at service, and we're like, oh, I can't eat another bite. This has got to be it. And we come to the next service like, well, I think I can eat that too. But that's called a revelation. So until we get out of here, we're going to be taught by God all the way along. I'm still being taught. Brother Childers was being taught when he was sitting here listening to me, which was amazing to me. But it shows you that none of us gets to the point where you stop learning.
That's right.
And if you stop learning, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's what got every denomination in trouble. That's why we're not a denomination. We've had a prophet. This prophet came on a scene. And that prophet's job was to do two things. One, restore all the lost things. The lost things like the Godhead, the water baptism. Roman Catholic Church messed that up at 325 A.D.
Amen.
Went to a Trinity, went to a false water baptism,
right,
and started tearing away at the Scripture, started worshiping saints, and started doing all. They put all this stuff in here and called it religion. And so the first thing that the prophet had to do was to come and take all of that junk that we've been taught and restore the word back to the original meaning. When a prophet comes, that's what he does. He comes with the word of God. No matter what prophet it was in the Old or the New Testament, he always came with the word of God because he's a seer. He was the voice of God to the people. Moses was the voice of God to the people. Aaron was his minister, but Moses was the voice. Aaron couldn't say anything that Moses didn't say. Aaron couldn't do anything that Moses didn't do. Same way all the way through the scriptures. Isaiah, Jeremiah, different ones, all the way down through time. Everything that they did because God spoke to them, and they wrote it down and let us know what God's word was saying. So Brother Branham's job at the end time was to take all those loose ends in this first part of his job, take all those loose ends and bring us back to the Godhead, back to the right water baptism. Amen. If you've been baptized today in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you need to be rebaptized. That's right. Because that's not a true water baptism. Amen. That's not what they said in Acts 2. That's not what Jesus said in Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, they interpreted, the church did, when he said, go into all the world and preach and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They cabbaged down on that and called that the water baptism. Right. But see, they didn't have a revelation. It takes a revelation to understand what he was even saying in Matthew 28. And Paul and Peter and the disciples, they had a revelation on that. So when they were over there in Acts 2, because they were doing in Acts 2 what he said to do in Matthew 28. So they got over in Acts 2 and they said, repent and be baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Only one name under heaven. Yeah. Peter was preaching by revelation. Yeah. He wasn't just doing it by head knowledge, by the doctrines of divinities, by the church world. He knew there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. And he knew that it was the only baptism in the world there of God would even accept is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know nobody in the original, in the Bible was ever baptized in any other name? Do you know the early church was baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ until 325 AD? So what Brother Branham's job was to do was to come and restore all those things back. The water baptism, the Godhead, everything that man had tainted with his thinking. He brought all that back. But Brother Branham brought us as far as he could. And he told the church, to Branham Tabernacle, we've come as far as we could in the written word. In other words, restoration of the word was done. We had all the scriptures right now. We had all the doctrines right now. And we had everything that we could think of brought back that Brother Branham brought back. But then there was a second part of that ministry. That first part was to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. And I don't know why I'm here. I guess I need to be here. Turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. But then there's a second part of the job that the hearts had to literally be turned back to the fathers. And the literally turning of the heart was not William Branham's job. William Branham couldn't literally turn your heart back. I can't literally turn your heart back. It's called a revelation.
Amen.
The captain of the Lord's host has to meet you on the other side of Jordan. And he had to walk you through the land himself.
Amen.
He has explained to you this word. And when he does it, it sounds like you've never heard it before.
Amen.
That's what a revelation is. It makes it live and move in you.
Amen.
You become the word and the word becomes you.
Amen.
You realize that you are part of the living word of God.
Amen.
And then you'll never be the same.
Amen.
I don't have to follow you home then. I don't have to make you live right then. I don't have to try to tell you how to dress then. I don't have to tell you how to live then. There'll be something on the inside of you that's greater than anything on the outside.
Amen.
And that will take your life and turn it upside down. So the second part of that turning of the hearts wasn't William Branham, but it was the Lord himself who had descended from heaven with a shout and a voice and a trumpet.
Amen.
Woo. That can only happen at the opening of the seals.
Amen.
That can only happen after the bride know who she is.
Amen.
That's why the book of Revelation says the spirit and the bride say come. That's why it says the bride has made herself ready.
Amen.
She is the final voice to the final age.
Amen.
God won't move without moving through her because she had the voice of the prophet.
Right. Right.
Amen. Amen.
That's why we're not a denomination. That's why they don't like us.
Amen.
That's why they throw stones at us.
Because
they don't believe about a prophet. When you try to explain it to your family, don't try to explain it to your family. That only messes things up. They don't. You know where they're going to go to find out about William Branham? They're not going to go to Branham Tabernacle. They're not going to get the books. They're not going to get the tapes. They're going to Google it. I've Googled it. And the thing you're going to find out is when you Google it, all you're going to get is the worst of the worst comments.
That's right.
All you're going to get is that he's a cult leader. All you're going to get, he was killed by a drunk driver. God took his life, and they're going to tell you all this dirty stuff that only the internet can do. But all you need is somebody who's been born again.
Amen.
And they can tell you how it is. But you know what? The world can't do that. And so that's why you don't want to tell them, because best thing you do is be a live voice. Let them see so much God in you that they can't deny that you've been with Jesus. That's all you can do, because you can't teach them. They're not teachable. And they got to have a preacher. And if they don't come to church where a preacher is, and I'm not talking about go to the church of your choice. You got to find a man of God that is a man of God. You got to find somebody that's been under the prophet.
Right?
Amen.
How can I tell you what the prophet said if I never heard him? So that throws out 999 denominations. You got to have one person that's sent from God, that hears the man of God, that speaks the word of God. How can you hear? How can you hear? Have to be preached.
Right, right.
You can't get this in your studies.
No.
You will never be smart enough. You'll never be smart enough. You say, well, I read all 1,000 Brother Branham's books. So what?
Right.
That don't impress me.
Amen.
Well, I know all the messages. I've listened to the tapes every morning when I wake up. I put them on. So what?
Right.
That don't impress me.
Amen.
When the word comes your way, what do you do with it?
Amen.
That's what impresses me.
Yeah.
When the word comes forth and you say, oh, that's nothing but the truth. Well, I never heard that before.
Right.
Oh, that's because you got yourself to church.
Right.
If you don't come to church, you don't have a preacher.
Yeah.
No preacher, no revelation.
Right.
No revelation, no God.
Amen.
No God, no hope.
Right.
That's,
Amen.
It.
Amen.
That's the way it works. That's God's provided way. That's God's provided channel.
Amen.
You say you're trying to make yourself something. No, I'm not. It could be any preacher that God gives us.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be me. When a preacher comes here, I'm sitting here just like you, taking notes just
Amen.
Like you. Because Amen. It's not the preacher. It's God talking to you personally.
Yeah. That's it.
And I'm taking notes more than y'all are.
Amen.
I'm looking at it. I'm like, I'll let a preacher come by and not say something to me.
Uh-huh.
And you ain't going to be no preacher and walk past me and not give me the word of God.
Right.
I'll pull it out of you. Something, I'll pull it out of you. If it ain't nothing but Jesus God, amen.
Yes.
I've had Baptist preachers come up here and preach one God.
Yeah.
And they get so anointed, they don't know what's going on. They're like, hallelujah. I preached this message 10 times. It's never come out like this. I'm like, amen. Got to have a preacher.
Amen.
And a preacher's got to be sent.
Yes.
Amen.
But that's God's way. So we had to have a prophet. Prophet came. Prophet restored the word.
Right.
Prophet was the first recipient of the new birth in this day.
Right.
It's the first fruit. Because when the word of God comes your way, it changes your thinking.
Right.
It changes your attitude. It changes your life.
Yeah.
It changes your understanding. And Brother Branham was, he's the first one that got his understanding changed. He was preaching things and the Holy Ghost would come and tell him he was straight. This doctor, that's what people don't understand about this message. Brother Branham had a progressive ministry. Don't tell them that in this message. They don't want to hear that. But he had a progressive ministry because when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, it changes your thinking. It changes your thoughts. It changes your perspective on everything. And so Brother Branham was doing just what we do every service. Word would come forth, and Brother Branham's like, oh, I see how that is. Oh, I had that. What did he say when he's preaching the seals? He said, I was getting ready to make a terrible mistake.
Right.
What? The prophet? Yes, the prophet. He's a man just like any of us.
Right.
He said he was using, like I told y'all, you can only use revelation when you get it.
That's right.
Until you get a revelation on something, you're using your thinking.
Right.
You make your best thought on everything. You make your best thought on the Godhead. You make your best thought on everything. Everything you have in your head that you think is God is only God when he quickens it to you.
Right.
Outside of God quickening it, it's you.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
You say, I'm a good liver. I do all this stuff. Did God tell you to do that? No, but I see in the Bible, I've read and studied, and I really, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
So Brother Branham had his thinking. And he was the first one that God had to correct thinking on. Because you know what? If you're the leader, and if your thinking's wrong, everybody behind you will be wrong. So it's like, how in the world are you going to say that you're going to bring us somewhere and you don't know where you're going yourself? Because God's revealing as he goes. Y'all seen me. I ain't ashamed. When I get a revelation, I don't try to act like, oh, I knew this all the time. I knew this all along. I'm a big shot. I'm the preacher. I'm the pastor. I know everything. No. If I get, if God straightens me up, you better believe y'all going to get straightened up. I get so tickled because he doesn't do it in the study at home. I don't know why he does that to me. He gets me right up in front of y'all. Right mid-sentence. And he'll correct my thinking. And I'm not smart enough to hide things from y'all. Because y'all know whenever something's going on, y'all know it. Because I guess I show it on my face. I'll never forget standing here. Everybody remembers it. Because if he'd done it behind the pulpit or at home on Saturday, that'd have been one thing. But he gets me right up here. He tricks me, too. Because I had to quote to back what he was saying with me. But I was using my thinking on the quote. And I'm saying we're 3 minutes to midnight. And God's like, no. No. We were 3 minutes to midnight before 63. 63. At 63, it became midnight. It became a new, that's what Jeremiah just, he was, oh, I could just hit that boy. Sit right on the front row. And he said it like he always knew it. But see, it wasn't Jeremiah, it was God. He was in his body, and he was correcting me here, and he spoke from over there. And I'm standing in front of all of y'all. I felt like Adam. We're standing before the Lord. I'd had nothing on. I was like, y'all was like, ooh. You better correct that. And I realized standing right in front of y'all, we are 3 minutes to midnight. Midnight hitting 63. Jeremiah said, it's the new day. That is right. I mean, it tied and made it made everything just fall in line. Midnight came in 63. The eighth day came in 63. The Holy Ghost came in 63. The coming of the Lord came in 63. The shout, the voice, and the trumpet. All came.
Amen.
All of it came in 63. And God had to correct me because you know what? Because my thinking was off. Y'all's thinking was off. That's what I used to always tell Brother Childers. When he changed something and I catch him, hey, you adjusted that. You changed here. He go, ha, ha, ha. And then if it's something I'm preaching and I had it wrong and he correct me, I'd look at him and say, don't you correct. Don't get me too hard because you the one taught me.
That's right.
So I was like, yeah. But see, the thing is, the leaders have to be right.
Amen. Right.
In order to, if you're the platoon leader, and you're supposed to be marching your troops, and you don't know where you're going, the troops won't know where they're going.
Everybody's lost.
But if the leader is honest with the people, and I try to be honest with y'all. And I tell y'all stuff when I could act like I know it already. Y'all wouldn't know no different because I know what I taught you. But I'm telling you, hey, remember I used the word hot off the press. You know what that means? I just learned this. And I do that quite often. This is hot off the press. Or I go, that means that's going to be on the test. That means this new stuff is good. But that's a living, moving God.
Yes.
You don't want a God that stopped moving in 63.
Right.
You don't want a God where you got to go back and listen to the tapes over and over and over and over again because
That's the only place he is. God's not in his tapes. He's in his people.
Amen.
Oh, I know I'll get in trouble with the message churches for that, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. Oh, I don't mind listening to Brother Brennan. I listen to him all the time. I don't mind even bring one in here and let you listen to him. I don't mind that at all. But I understand one thing. You're not going to get God by listening to tapes that are 50 years, 60 years old.
Amen.
The quickening power is in his people. He came down from heaven to get in his people. He's united in his people. You're going to hear from God. You're going to hear from him in his people. Nowhere else. You can read the Bible all you want, but you better find a preacher. You can listen to the tapes all you want, but you better find a preacher.
Amen.
Y'all making it awful hard for me to teach. I forgot I was supposed to be a teacher. I didn't read my scripture yet. This, I'm introducing this because you need to understand this part to understand what I'm going to talk about. And I knew this was going to be hard. I said, well, Lord, we only have one service a day. So I really thought, I was sitting on the organ. I said, Lord Jesus, this could be one of those 4-hour services. We only have one service today, but I'm not going to, I'm praying that I don't do that. I'm not trying, I'm just trying. I haven't got to my scripture yet, but I'm trying to introduce you to why we are, how we are, and who we are. Because you need to understand this, because your very foundation is built around this.
Right.
Why we're not a denomination, you need to know that.
Yeah.
Why we're not like all the other churches, you need to know that. Why God sent a prophet, you need to know that.
Amen.
We need to understand these things, because these are the very foundational things, the blocks that this whole message is built on. And if you don't understand that, you won't understand what I'm going to read. So I have to go this way, Don. I have need to go by this way. So we're all on the same page. We all understand now why we had to have a prophet, why God is so real to us. He's not just a message. I don't even like calling it the message, because people have denominated the message.
Amen.
It's the same spirit. I like to call it the Word of God.
Yes.
We've been restored back to the Word.
Amen.
And that Word has given us a message, but that message is back to the Word.
Yes.
Okay, let me read so I can get started. I won't have you stand because I've got a lot of reading here. Now, we were talking last Sunday night, and for those of you who don't get the privilege on the internet to be in our Sunday night services, I always get rocks thrown at me for that. They want to get in there so bad. I've had people come to town just so they could stay till Sunday night. Won't mention any names, but they actually stay so they can come to Sunday night service. But at Sunday night service, we were talking, and we talked about serpent seed, and I said, we haven't talked about that in a while, and we got a lot of new people, and people are tuning in, and I thought, it's time to go back and revisit the whole serpent seed, but even in revisiting it, it's all new.
Yes.
I mean, I'm already turned on with what I've already heard,
yes.
And it's not even part of it. But I went back, and I started looking up things, and I do have it out on the webpage for those who would like to go out there. I think I have a message or two on serpent seed actually in the minister area. There's a believer's corner under the doctors. We put things out there, and one of the things is the serpent seed message is out there. So if you want to go back and look at that, I pulled it up yesterday, but I like fresh manna. I pulled it up yesterday. I thought, you know, I could take the lazy way. And just print out. It had the scriptures, the quotes, and everything right there. I could just print out and do it. Bring to the church. Blah. There you go. Key pass out, even. Handouts. I could have done all that. But I would have done that. Then you would have thought I was a teacher. But I sat there last night and I thought, no, I want to do something fresh. So that's why I went back through it myself. Yeah, I didn't want to go back and just rehash. You know, that was preached, that was put together back in 2011, I think it was. And so this thing has been right for a long time. And so you can always go back there if you want to look at it. But I wanted to just
bring this message this morning, and it's interesting. So if you would turn with me over to Genesis chapter 3, we're going to spend a lot of time in chapter 3, because chapter 3 has so much in it, and if I had you stand to read, we would be standing all day, because they're just, I'm going to break it into chunks to help us understand chapter 3, and in reading so, I hope it'll help us to show a picture of that serpent seed doctrine. Now, the church world thinks the serpent seed doctrine is false, so don't tell your family. Don't try to break this down. They will. When we finish, you'll see they'll have a cow. They can't understand it, but they won't listen long enough to get an understanding. So what I'm sharing with you is what Brother Branham shared with the world, and serpent seed is one of the doctrines that caused the church world to nix him. Water baptism, Godhead, serpent seed, those were no-nos to denomination. So just to open up with the reading here, Genesis chapter 3, just we're going to read through here in a couple of different places, but I'm going to start with verse 14. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between, I'm going to try to just read this because I don't want to comment because there's something in every verse. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hath eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, for in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat herbs of the field. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I'd like to title the thoughts this morning, The Fall of Man. And I wanted to start with this reading here because it shows that God had a relationship with man. This isn't the first time that God's dealt with man. God's had a relationship with man from the beginning. You got to remember, in the beginning, it was God alone. And he didn't want to be alone. So that's when he created the heavens and the earth and the angels. And he wasn't even a God. Do you know God wasn't even a God until he created angels? God is an object of worship. And until there was something to worship him, he wasn't even God. You say, so we know him before he was God. Yeah. He was self-existent one. Elohim. He was all alone. But he created things because in God creating things, it made him something. He was nothing before he made something. That was hot off the press. That's why I paused because I thought, whoa. Before God created, he wasn't even a creator. He wasn't a God. He was just Elohim. Self-existent. But do you realize in Elohim, there were attributes. There were thoughts. Things that he wanted to express. And do you know one of his expressions was creator? We didn't count that one as an expression. Not till now. That's why I stopped. I thought,
Whoa, I thought he wasn't even a creator.
Right.
A creator is an attribute of Elohim. Yet to be expressed. It wasn't even an expressed attribute until after he said, let there be.
Wow.
Then he became a creator.
Yes.
Oh my.
And not before. Oh my.
But then after he started creating, there were other attributes just like creator that was in him that he wanted to express. He wanted to express the attribute of God. He wanted to express the attribute of Father. He wanted to express the attribute of Redeemer. He wanted to express the attribute of Healer. And there's others. Oh, and I could go on. I could name, but I'm just trying to give you an ideal to keep moving. But God had all of this in him before he was God.
Right.
And so he started creating. And he created the angels. And the angels worshiped him as God. So that's what made him God.
Amen.
And so as God starts bringing his attributes out of himself, you got to remember, he had all, do you realize you are part of God's attributes?
Amen.
You are part of the attributes that was in him before he was God.
Amen.
how he had to break himself and bring himself down so low that he can put himself as an attribute in us. But the same one that's in you is the same one that created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
Amen.
One God, many attributes.
Right.
So he started expressing himself, and he created man. But God's thought for man was that he was going to be able to fellowship with him and bring him a little bit of joy.
Yeah.
Like Brother Mike's grandkids. He had attributes in him.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to be alone.
Right.
And we should understand that.
Yes.
There's nobody in this room here that wants to be alone.
Right.
It's just not in man's nature to want to be alone.
Right. Amen. Right.
So God put attributes in us that express the attributes in him. The only way that we can understand him is to understand ourselves.
Oh my.
So when we get our attributes expressed out of us, it's just a minor, little bitty, small expression of what big old Elohim felt. He didn't want to be alone. Oh, you want a spouse? That's a good thing. Oh, you want kids? That's a good thing. You want somebody around the house? That's a good thing. That's just showing that you're expressing who God is. Just like the fall and the trees and the leaves fall and the spring comes, those are the expressions of God.
Right.
Everything that God had in his attributes, he was going to bring out. Because it's all part of him. And he was going to express it one way or the other. So he had created Adam. And he put Adam in the garden. And he told Adam, this is all yours. You can do what you want. And I'm coming to visit you every day. Because I didn't want to be alone. And you don't want to be alone. So God would come down in the evening, cool of the evening,
right.
And he and Adam would walk around, and they would have good fellowship. Amazing. God got joy out of Adam walking the earth. Expressing an attribute. But God so loved Adam that he could see. Because he created out, you got to remember, everything that you express, God put in you.
Amen.
It was created in his image. And in his image, he had to create him. And you know what he put in him? A little bit of loneliness. Because it was in God. And he wanted to express love. God was expressing love with Adam. But Adam wanted to express love. And God knew that in his attributes, remember all this happened before the world began. He had all this placed in Adam. And he come down and walked one evening with Adam and said, Adam,
you don't look happy. I've given you dominion of the entire world. And you've named everything, every animal. I give you permission to name everything. Adam, you know, Adam named everything. God did. He was a junior God. Adam named everything. God did not name a thing. Adam named them. So God comes and says, Adam, what you call that? Oh, I call that a kangaroo. What you call that over there? That's a zebra. Lord, I call that zebra. And okay, all right. But God looked at Adam and said, Adam, but you don't look fulfilled.
Right.
And I know what your problem is.
Okay.
Because I've got that same problem. I've got attributes in me that I have to fulfill. And Adam, you have attributes in you that you have to fulfill.
Right, right.
I get it. So I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to give you a helpmate. Somebody that is equal with you, that'll walk next to you. On the evenings, if I don't come down, you two can fellowship together and have a good old time. Well, God put Adam to sleep, and he created the woman. And she was called woman because she was taken out of the man. So that's why she was called woman. Not, whoa, man. That wasn't a warning. That wasn't a warning. But she was a part of him. And those two were one. And so now Adam has somebody that he could fellowship with. He could walk with. He could talk to. He could share things, his ideals, his thoughts, the attributes that are in him. He could talk about these things, how he's feeling. And this woman was with him. And you know what? He just called her woman. Woman, this is what I'm thinking today. Yes, man. What do you think? And they talk and they fellowship and they do all this thing. Well, one day, remember that God's creation goes from the amoeba all the way up to man. Now, we fight with scientists on this Big Bang theory. And we fuss and fight and argue over God's creation versus man's Big Bang and all that. But, you know, they're not that far apart. We're trying to make creation happen in 7 work days. You know, it's like 7 days, God created heaven and earth, and he did all this. No, that was 6,000 years. But even in that 6,000 years, God had created from the smallest amoeba, and he built his way up to man.
Right.
So scientists aren't wrong. They're right about us coming from the smallest all the way up, but that's how God created. And God's smart because he wants scientists to think that. That's why he did it in that order. Man just gets caught in his own thinking. So God created this, and so he had created the thing that was closest to man. It wasn't the ape. We look at the ape and we say, whoa, the ape was the closest thing to man. The ape was not. There's one thing closer to man than ape. And it was the serpent. Now that here over there that we just read proves it. Because I ain't never seen no ape when I'm at the zoo say, psst, come here. I want you to pass me a banana. He may want that. But he ain't going to say that. But the serpent wasn't low on the building blocks of God. The serpent was the closest thing to man. He was right next to us. He walked upright. He talked. He could think.
Amen. Right.
And he could do some other things. And the serpent was so tricky. And it was subtle that he convinced Eve that if she did what God told her not to do, that it'd be okay. Did the devil ever convince you to do something that God's told you not to do? And you thought, oh, it'll be okay. Do you know that decision caused all of mankind to fall?
Right.
So some of these small tweaks you do in your life that you think don't matter, there's consequences to it. When you make those decisions, there's consequences to those decisions. And some of those consequences you live with for the rest of your life.
Right.
If you do what God's word says, you're fine.
Yeah.
But when you step out from under God's word and you decide, because you have to decide. Remember, man is it's a free moral agent. He can choose to serve God or choose not to. Eve had the choice, Adam had the choice, and you have the choice.
Amen.
You say, well, if I was Eve, you would have done the same thing.
Amen.
Look at what you did last week. We choose to do what we do.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't like to put false narratives out there to make people think that we don't do that. We do. We all do. We're human. Human nature. I want ice cream versus greens. So which one am I going to pick up and which one I'm going to eat? I choose. I choose what I want to do. I choose what I don't want to do.
Right.
I choose how much I want to serve God and how little.
Right.
I choose when I want to come to church and when I want to sit at home. I choose when I want to believe God's word and when I just want to just ignore it. Not that I don't disbelieve it, but I ignore it to do my dirt. I use myself because I know y'all don't happen to y'all. I know that y'all ain't talking to y'all. But you got to actually bypass God's word to do the lust of the flesh. And we all do it. Don't lie to me. So Eve had a choice to make. She was talking to this serpent. He was beast. He was not a snake. He was a beast, an upright animal. He walked straighter than the apes walk. He wasn't hunched over like this. He was walking like this. He was challenging Adam. Adam. And you know, Adam and Eve were the best good-looking people there were. And you know who was next in line? Serpent. He wouldn't come up scary. Boo. No, he was enticing. And when the serpent started talking to Eve, it's all in chapter 3, he started talking to her. You know what? The church world thinks that it was an apple that caused the fall. They preached that. I had a preacher one time, I told him, oh, it was no apple. What it was. He said, it wasn't an apple. He said, I know what it was. I said, oh, it's Brother German. He said, I said, what was it, Brother German? He said, it was an apricot. I'm like, where in the world did you get that? It went from one bad fruit to the other. But the church world literally taught me that it was an apple that caused the fall. They taught me that the snake was wrapped up in the tree talking, and you can see it in the pictures and the artwork and everything, and the apple's hanging there, and Eve's standing there, and she's about ready to grab that apple. That's what the church world teaches. That's what they believe. That's church doctrine. That's what they believe. That's why we needed a prophet. Because it's nothing about apples at all. You say, well, I boycotted apples. Don't worry about those apples. Eat all the apples you want. Brother Branham said, if apples made women know that they were naked, they need to pass them out again. But she had this conversation with that serpent,
right,
who is the most handsome person in the garden outside of Adam. And he walked up there and said, hey, Miss Eve. No, he said, hey, Miss Woman. That's what he called her. Hey, Miss Woman. You need to talk. Got something. Tell you, got a secret. You know, I should say something. So y'all girls like secrets.
Yeah.
If somebody want to tell a little gossip, come on, y'all know. He's like, I got a little secret. And he started talking to Eve. And see, it wasn't just one day. You got to understand, he worked on that woman.
Right.
He worked her over, talked to her. Brought her first day, like,
amen.
Good morning, Miss Woman. How you doing? Hope you're having a nice day. Just, you know how we all,
yeah.
we guys know how it works. You work up to that. Yeah, you dressing up nice. Put your deeper voice on. Put your perfume, best smelling. You know how it works. If you're going to entice the girl, and then she's like, Mr. Serpent, we're not supposed to mess with this tree. He finally got her to talk about the tree. He could talk about everything else. And she's like, Mr. Serpent, we're not supposed to mess with that tree. God says, God's word says, listen to what God said. We're not supposed to touch it. But listen to the devil now. Now see, the devil was talking through the serpent. It wasn't the serpent. The serpent's just an animal. But he was just something, just like these animals that the devil talks through to us. Still him. Six same old tricks. My, your hair looks nice today. What perfume is that? You know how it works. That's the devil. It's still him. It's just not in the serpent. He used him. The serpent's just an animal. It's just being used by the devil. And the reason the devil used him is because he had a voice. He could talk. And so he held this conversation with Eve for who knows how long. We don't know how long they lived in the garden. We know creation time, but after they were created, we don't know if they could have lived for millions of years. We have no record of that. But eventually, he wore her down. And he said, God knows that if you eat of this tree, that you're going to know good from bad. You're going to be wise. You're going to be like God. Because, see, he was using God's attributes against her. And it made sense. It's like, God knows it. And he wasn't totally lying.
No.
See, that's the devil. He's not going to tell you a flat lie.
No.
He's going to tell you, you're going to church, but you're a bad Christian. You ain't going to make it all the way. You're going to fall off on the way. I know you are. You know you got problems. That's the devil. He won't even deny you go to church. So he's working her over, saying, that when you partake of this, you're going to be like him to know good from evil. You know what a good girl is and what a bad girl is. You'll know what's nice and what's not nice. You'll know you'll get all kind of knowledge. And it was true. You'll know all these things. And he wants you'll be just like God. You know where Eve was, the way Adam was before the fall? They had not a stitch of clothes on.
Right.
And they had a holy veil on them, and they walked with God with no problems at all. No bad thoughts, no nothing at all. It's like having 2 6-month-old babies. Innocent. And the devil used that serpent to say, you'll be just like God, because God knew good from evil. He knew right from wrong. He knew truth from lie. Well, Adam and Eve didn't. They were totally innocent, like newborn babes. They just walking around, doing their thing, wasn't worried about nothing. But that serpent, who was being used by the devil, said, let me show you this trick. And she said, we've been talking about this for 60 years. Fine. Let's do this thing. And what the devil did was use the serpent to perform a sex act with Eve. He said, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's the trick that happened in the garden that the church world has no clue. None. That's the fruit. And that's what happened with Eve. And Eve, being deceived like she was, she thought, well, that ain't that bad. Adam, let me show you what the serpent showed me. And then she did it with Adam.
Right.
And then at that point, they then knew what nakedness was. They knew what sex was. They knew the difference between male and female. They knew all this knowledge that they didn't have any of it. Now all of a sudden, why? God was right. All this knowledge flooded them. Now they're naked. But they were too stupid to even know what to do about it. So, as God always does, he comes down in the cool of the evening to start walking with his man and his woman. But today was a little different. And you know God knew where they were. He was playing the role. I'm telling you, he had attributes. He was playing the role of judge then. So he had to act like, I don't know what's going on. So he comes down and says, oh, Adam, where are you? Have you ever had your kids cover their eyes and think that you don't see them? They can't see you, but in their mind, you can't see them.
Right.
So God comes down there and he says, Adam, come on, Adam, where are you hiding? And Adam's hidden up there behind a tree and he's behind him. And they try to act like it's business as usual. But your own testimony tells on you. I mean, they knew what afraid was. See, all these things that they didn't have any knowledge of, now they knew it all. They come out from behind a tree because they knew they were busted. And God said, well, why are you hiding? And he said, well, because we were naked and afraid. We saw. We knew you were coming, and we were afraid.
Yeah.
Number one, he had never used that term with him.
Right.
He'd never used afraid with God.
Right.
He'd never used shame. He'd never used naked. He'd never used any of those things. So that holy veil that they had on him was gone. So God's like, who did this? And then they learned how to do the art of passing the buck.
Right.
Adam said, the woman that thou gave me, it's your fault because you gave her to me and she caused me to do this. And then God looked at her and she's like, that serpent, he tricked me. And that poor little snake, he's standing there like, what did I do? I'm just doing what I do. So all of this was happening in the scriptures that we read. So it's important to understand these things. And we go through this a little bit slow because I want to make sure you get it. Because when you see it, you can never unsee it.
Right.
When I first heard about serpent seed and read Genesis 3, I was never the same. I could never go back in Genesis 3 and put an apple in there again. It's like, how stupid. Well, who thought of that? They could have thought of something better than an apple. So now let's just save time. Because, oh, Lord, it's 12 o'clock. Okay. Let me just jump on down. Because I really want to go back and read what I read first. Now that you understand the story. Okay. I may not get too far today, but I'm going to go back to verse 14. Now let's read verse 14 again. And now that we've had this background about all of this, let's read it and see what it sounds like now. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle. He was better than the cattle. And above all, every beast of the field. He was above the beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. No wonder a snake's on his belly.
Now.
But he wasn't then. God cursed him. That's why science can't find him. They've been looking for that missing link as long as there was science. And they know there's something there. And if they look in the Bible, they can find it. But because they don't believe the Bible, they can't find it. God cursed. Now, why would all of this be put in Genesis? Just for a reading? God was showing here what happened to mankind and where the curse was. Actually, the link was broken between man and animal right there at that curse. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I could spend hours on that. That's the fight that God and the devil has had for the last 6,000 years. They bruise his heel, but he bruised his head. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Wait a minute.
Break it down now.
Why did God put conception in there if we're talking about an apple? See, all this now is just like, oh, it makes sense. I'm going to multiply your conception. In other words, you've conceived. And not only are you going to multiply it, I'm going to give you two.
Amen.
Not going to have time today. I'm going to multiply your conception. And thy sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Plural. A whole nother message. Children. Let me just flat tell you right off. Eve got with the serpent. And then she got with Adam. She was carrying the seed of the serpent. And she was carrying the seed of Adam. He said, I'm going to multiply your children. Your conception. And sorrow, you're going to bring forth children. More than one. Why didn't he say he's going to bring a child? Because it wasn't a child, it was two. So God knows all this. He could read right through her body. He saw the seed, he saw the germ, he saw it was all ready to. And you got to remember, these people were perfect. So it wasn't going to be no miscarriages.
No.
I mean, like now we're like, well, there's a miscarriage. You have three or four miscarriages, then you get a baby. Another couple of miscarriages and get another baby. That's common now. In all families, that's common. Back with the perfect man and perfect woman, a seed and an egg get together, it's going to produce. It's going to produce. So she had these children in her. And sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now here's what he did to Adam. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. That's why you don't listen to her. She's a weaker vessel. Brother Branham called her that. She is a weaker vessel. I know Laodicea, age of equal rights, everybody's the same. I know that, but I do know what I know. The Bible doesn't change. The definition doesn't change. The word does not change. Though man try to take the masculinity out of God and try to take the femininity out of the bride and try to make everything neutral. There's a reason God did all of this. There's a reason why God put you in a church with a pastor. There's a reason why you're in a house with a husband. There's a reason why all these things are there. God was putting things in place to help keep things in order because she listened to the serpent. She was a weaker vessel because she wasn't there in the beginning when God told her that. Adam was there. God said, don't eat of that tree. But Adam told Eve. And Eve didn't take it as serious as Adam did. And she listened to that serpent. And so God didn't do to Adam what he did to Eve. But listen to what he said. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. He didn't curse Adam.
No.
You know why he didn't curse Adam? Because Adam was the son of God.
That's right. Amen.
He couldn't curse Adam.
That's
And he really, the curse that was on Eve was just to bring forth children. But it didn't destroy her. She was still a part of Adam. She was still going to be there. But Adam was a son of God. He's like, hey, I'm only expressing the attributes that you put in me. There's something about the man who wanted to lay down his life for his bride. That was in Adam. But that was an attribute in Adam. So God couldn't very well curse him because he put it there. He said Adam was going to have attributes in him that was going to express God. That right there is one. Adam could have said, you know what, woman, I got more ribs. You're out of here. Just move in with the serpent. Take your stuff and go. And then when God come in and cool it, he could say, Lord, this woman that you gave me, she did this. She's out the picture. I got more ribs. Give me another one. Maybe this one will do better. But Adam so loved his wife that he gave. That attribute was God's own attribute. God so loved that he gave. So how can God blame Adam when God's doing it himself? So he did not curse Adam, but he cursed the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. You're going to eat of that ground. Now, up until that point, if they wanted to eat something, they could. If they didn't want to, they didn't have to. It wouldn't bother them at all, one way or the other. But now, their life depended on it. Remember, all these things are changing now. Now, Adam's going to have, first time his stomach growled, he probably, what is that? Like, I need to put something in there. He never hungered before. He never thirsted. He drank from the water that he wanted to. He ate a fruit, piece of fruit, just because. But now that the curse is on the ground, God said, not only are you going to have to eat it, you're going to eat that all the days of your life. What do you mean days? Oh, you're not living forever. Yeah, that's over, bub. You are going to die. 1,000 years is a day, and before that 1,000 year comes, you're dead. You shall surely the day that you eat of that.
Amen.
So that day it started counting down.
Yeah.
I always say death is a measurement of time.
Because
that's what it is. So as soon as he ate of that tree, as soon as he partook with Eve, that tree of life cut that out. And death was now available. Death had never been introduced. Didn't even know who it was. Didn't even know what it was.
Amen.
Wow. So I shall eat of all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles. You ain't going to go out here and put a piece of corn out in the yard, Steve, and only corn come up. That's too much like heaven. You're going to plant corn, and Satan's going to plant thistles and weeds. And you're going to have to spray, and you're going to have to hoe, and you're going to have to use your tractor, and you're going to have a tractor breaks down, and you're going to have to sweat of the brow, fix the tractor, doing all this stuff. The whole time, Steve's probably like, hey! But that's why we do what we do. Thorns and thistles shall be bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat herbs of the field, and the sweat of thy face. They had never sweat before.
Wow.
The temperature was perfect. Just like the other day, you know, it was like 70 degrees, nice breeze, sun out, perfect. No, you weren't even sweating. Just perfect. Temperature is like being in an air-conditioned place. They never sweat. They never hungered. They never thirst. They never regretted. All these things that they picked up all because of that one sex act. It changed everything.
Right.
In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Now, I am going to stop. I got to. That was just the first scripture. I can't. We will, Lord willing, we will talk about the fall of the man. We got company coming. I'm going to say this Wednesday night. Jeremiah and Jay are going to shout, but I'll take Wednesday night service, and we'll go on further. We'll go a little bit further, because I want it together. But I told y'all this could be a 4-hour. This is like, but this is, I'm trying to teach this, but there's so many things you need to bring in to show the whole picture. That and now when you think about it, why would an apple cause all of this? Why would taking a bite out of an apple cause? But this is what the church world preaches to their congregation. And no matter wherever you come from, I don't know what your backgrounds all together are, but wherever you come from, it always goes back to that apple. Because they all agree on that. And they all think it's a natural tree, but that wasn't a natural tree. One was the tree of life, and one was Satan himself. One was the tree of life and one was the tree of death. Yep. And they ate off of Satan's tree. And they ate off of their own flesh in the sense that they fell into sin, into unbelief. Each problem was that she disbelieved God's word. Amen. That was the very problem from the very beginning. Oh, it wasn't a sex act. Y'all have sex acts all the time. It ain't about that. It's the disbelieving God's word.
Right. Amen.
That's the problem. She didn't believe 100%. You might be sitting out here today. If you don't believe 100%, you are just as guilty as Eve.
Amen.
Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
You can't take a little bit and take part and take apart and leave apart and eat part and not apart and want this and don't want that. And my goodness. You can't do that when the Word of God's on the scene. You got to eat every word. You got to believe every word. You got to say amen to every word. It doesn't matter whether you live forever or not. You got to do that now. That's a believer. You look at Eve and you look at Adam and you say, well, they were awful because they did this and this, but you know what? They ain't done anything you haven't done. They're in the same predicament that you were in. We do the same thing. Because we all have choices to make. The fall of man was the worst thing that ever happened to man. But the salvation of man was the best thing that ever happened to man. But you got to even keep in mind, even when you're going through this, don't feel so bad about Adam and Eve because they were only having this happen in their lives to help express the greater attributes that God had. Remember, God had attributes in him to be a redeemer. You can't be a redeemer if it's not lost.
Right.
So though it looked bad, though it was awful, though it was the worst thing that ever happened to mankind, but it was the greatest thing. Because it brought more attributes out of Elohim that he had put in himself. And he was going to bring it down here. Now he's got a stage to work with now. He's got a place that he can work. And now he can express all the other things that are in him. And when you really find what he's doing and what he's expressing, then you can relax and realize God's got this. I don't have to worry about it. The fall of man, thank God for the fall of man.
Amen.
If it wasn't for the fall of man, we wouldn't know what you got to understand this. You were going to come anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Had there not been a fall, you would have come through Eve.
Right.
Because you're eternal. And all the eternal seeds of God were going to be manifested down here on earth. But because of the fall, the thistles and the thorns, they were planted. And that's why we have wars and rumors of wars. That's why we have all this bickering and battling and fighting. That's why we can't get along. That's why all this stuff is happening. Because of the thorns and the thistles that were introduced on this earth. But don't worry about it, little bride.
Amen.
This story's not over yet.
Amen.
It's only just begun.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful, Lord Jesus, for your word. God, I know after today's service, leaves a lot of room to talk about other things, other attributes of yours that were lying in you that you wanted to express. And Lord, we want to cover those things, and we want to talk about those things, and we want to share them with the body because it's real. And this story never gets old. It never gets tiresome. And every time I look at it, I see more. So, Father, I ask you to just help us to receive your word. This is what you revealed to the prophet who revealed to us. Now we turn around and reveal it to the people. It's that same revelation of what really happened in the garden. And now I can see why there's covenants. Now I can see why the woman was put under the man. Now I can see where the fall came in. And it doesn't make one better than the other. It's just you positionally placing us so that you could bring about the attributes that were in you, in both husband and wife and church and ministry and pastors and prophets, all the way back to Jesus Christ who got it from you. These are all expressions, and Lord, we're so grateful for that. I ask you to be with us and help us to, Lord, look at this thing the way that you look at it. Oh, we've never seen a day like this. We've never had our eyes open so much as we can see now. And now we see the whole picture. We see the whole story, and nothing's hid from us now. We know exactly what happened at the beginning, and we know what happened before the beginning. And Father, we're grateful and humbled to be a part of that number that can see this truth. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we go forward, Lord, let us meditate on these things and come back and let's talk about it again some more and just continue this conversation. Thank you for this waiting congregation who sat patiently with us as we went over your word and your scriptures, and no doubt some maybe getting tired in body, but Lord, our soul doesn't get tired. And we love this thing because it's the word of God coming out of the mouth of God. And we're thankful for that, Father. Be with us throughout the day. Be with us. Keep us safe as we journey down to Kentucky for the funeral. Be with us until we gather again on Wednesday night. Lord, desiring to hear more about your word. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All is well. All is well. It's in the key of G. It doesn't matter what Satan throws at us now. We know the truth of the story. We know what really happened. And I pray that it's clear things up for everyone. I'm hoping that it's clear things up in such a way that you'll never be deceived by that serpent again. When I first got an understanding of what happened in the garden, I could never read it any other way. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. And he said, well, I got to go home and study it. Study all you want. I did. It's all there. And more. But you know, you'll never understand it until you come to the house of God. You study, 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 and you'll read the same scriptures that I read here. You'll read it at home. You'll have it done in 2 minutes, and you're ready to do something else. Here we spent a couple of hours. Never got off the first scripture. That shows you it's more than a man on the scene. God is here. He's hearing his word, and that word is now just speaking, just flowing from breast to breast. It's just flowing, and it all ties together so perfect that you wonder, how did I not ever see this? He's here now.
Right.
When he's here, he lets you see everything.
Right.
That's what he said to Abraham on the hill. Can I hide anything from my friend? And here he is in this hour now saying, can I hide anything from my friend? Now we understand it, and it makes perfectly, perfectly good sense. Tommy, does that make sense to you? Had you ever heard a little bit of it?
I have, from Brother Isaiah.
I know Isaiah couldn't keep nothing to himself. But you see how it ties, and it runs, and it helps us to even understand ourselves why we are like we are. I don't understand why nobody wants it. All is well. All is well. For we have heard the message. There's a story in the Bible of Elijah, the Shulamite woman and her son. While working in the field, the little boy died, but the man and her son, sorry about that. Here it is, while working. While working in the field, the little boy died, but the woman's faith never failed. Even in death, she testified that all is well. That all.